Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Paul Emmick, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emmick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to SprinklerFitters183.org.
Paul Emmick, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Good Wednesday to you, Paul.
Hey, Bill. How are you, man?
Doing well. So Matt LaFleur has now spoken. He is evaluating. When the first question was asked about whether or not Mike Pettine is staying or going, we are currently evaluating and did some good things during the season. Obviously, the way the season ended, they didn't have the energy. It just faltered, basically. Wasn't committal. Do you think Mike Pettine's coming back from the sound of Matt LaFleur?
No. No, I think there were two paths that could have gone. One, Matt LaFleur saying, yes, I think Mike Pettine is the guy to lead this group going forward, or I'm still evaluating. I didn't think he'd actually use that moment to say, I want to let everybody know I've decided to let Mike Pettine go. We're going to look for new. I didn't think he would use that forum for that, which means he was either going to say, I believe in Mike Pettine, he's coming back, or something to the extent of I'm still evaluating. If I'm Mike Pettine, and I don't know if he bought a home in Green Bay or he rented, but I'm certainly on the market, I would think, at least exploring what if I have to, move, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would certainly take it. And, and I think when you start to look at the coaching tree connections that existed on Sunday between Saleh and Mike Shanahan and, of course, Matt LaFleur and his brother Mike LaFleur and all of these different, people who are relatively young in NFL coaching standards, like late 30s, early 40s type of people. I mean, clearly Matt LaFleur is a connected guy, and there are a lot of extremely, quality coaches that he has as best friends or as, close acquaintances or as former roommates, and he's obviously been connected to the right people in his career, and I think that it's not surprising that he would want to go at some point. And again, this is not official. We're just we're just speculating based on his comments today, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if he wanted to have his guy. And I certainly think the odds of Mike Pettine not returning for the 2020 season increased today, based on the still evaluating type of comments that LaFleur gave.
Should he be back?
That's a really tough one. The offense was okay this year. I'd say the offense was good this year, right? And so there's that. But I think the defense was probably the stronger part of the team. Stronger than special teams, stronger than the offense. But a lot of that came from a pass rushing perspective, which in today's NFL, it's supposed to be the most important part, right? If you can get after quarterbacks, you're supposed to be able to win. Unfortunately for the Packers and unfortunately for Mike Pettine's job security, he went up against an offense that decided to pass it all of eight times and just ran it down Mike Pettine's defense's throat. And so I think what the ultimate thing for not just LaFleur but Brian Gutekunst to analyze is, do they think that the pieces they gave to Mike Pettine were enough to stop the run, or do they say we gave you the right pieces? Because think of this. They gave three very high-priced contracts last offseason to free agents, the Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos. They used both first-round picks on defense, Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage. And I know Gary didn't play a lot, but between Savage, Smith, and Amos, you just drafted or signed four of your, top 10 most used players on defense. These guys didn't sign some backups and, sign street free agents. I mean, these were high-priced draft picks or free agents. And then again, but, you know, what were these guys' strengths? Stopping the pass. So, you know, is it a roster construction problem that Brian Gutekunst, you know, had guys like Lancaster on the defensive line, and obviously the Montrevious Adams pick thus far has remained a bad one. And, you know, Dean Lowry gets a contract extension, keep in mind, 4 months ago, so he's not going anywhere. So, you know, are these the guys up front that you need? Is Blake Martinez the guy that you need in the middle of the defense among the linebackers? You know, can any defensive coordinator stop the run with that group, or is it just not the right group of players? And, you know, I think if you told me what would I do, I think I would, you know, of course, you don't know if you're LaFleur and you're Gutekunst. You obviously, if you go the route of dismissing Mike Pettine, you know who you want to call. You're not gonna fire Pettine not knowing who you hope to hire or who you're assured of hiring. But assuming that's true, I think I would see if there was somebody else to lead that defense. Because again, LaFleur inherited Mike Pettine, who I think, you know, I mean, Bill, let's give all things in. Let's give Mike Pettine a grade for the 2019 season. I'm going to give him a B or B minus.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? No, I would go with that. I mean, look, they were one of the top 10 scoring defenses in all of football. They ended up at number 9 overall. Yeah. They were 18th in total defense, but when it came to scoring, they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, just at the very end of this thing, it got away from them. And, you know, they just got physically and schematically beat up. So, granted, they have, you know, things to change going into the offseason, but I looked at Brian Gutekunst more so than I looked at Mike Pettine at this point.
Yeah, and so really that's where it all comes back to is, like, if you're going to give your, you know, let's say that they give the same grade, let's say the front office gives Pettine the same grade that we just did, B-minus, you're really asking yourself, can you find an A-minus, B-plus? Like, there's certainly some room for improvement if that's your grade, but, you know, it's not like you just got a D, you know. Now, on the other side of it, you start to look at some of the predecessors and people that LaFleur has learned from, and Sean McVay, you know, a year ago was in the Super Bowl. This year they missed the playoffs, and he fires Wade Phillips, you know, and mm-hmm. that's cutthroat, right? Like, Wade Phillips is a very well-respected defensive coordinator in the league, and one bad year for the Rams, and McVay said, see ya. So, you know, I just start to think that there's enough, you know, data points, so to speak, that point to LaFleur is probably going to be on the more aggressive side of that. And his comments today certainly didn't make it more likely that Pettine returns. So I guess I, you know, the more I think about it, the more I talk about it, the more it seems that things are going to point to LaFleur bringing in somebody else.
I went through the All-22 last night and looked at it over and over and over again. There were schematic things. There were things that offensively they didn't handle really well. The blocking scheme up front was confused at times. San Francisco did a masterful job. I go back to some of the things that we had talked about after the game, in which, say, the pass to Geronimo Allison, bad pass by Aaron Rodgers. Actually, when I went back and looked at it, Geronimo Allison overran the zone. And I start to now that I get a little deeper into this, I'm cutting Aaron Rodgers some slack. It looked like he was out there playing chess and everybody else was playing checkers. And if you weren't in the right place at the right time, that's the reason the guy hung on to the football. That's the reason the guy didn't trust a lot of the guys around him. And so on one hand, I can say, damn it, you got to trust these guys. You got to just wing it. And it's easy to say, let it go. But when he did and trusted them because he threw the ball before the guy stopped to, you know, the route, it got picked off. I cut Aaron Rodgers a little bit more slack than maybe what I should have, you know, or what I should have done a little bit earlier this season. And I just wanted your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you're playing. Let's take a small step back. I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Bill, he played one snap in the NFC Championship game. This was supposed to be, your number two guy, him and or Geronimo Allison. I mean, Bill, I don't know if you want to pull up the game log game by game of Geronimo Allison this season. It's bad, man. Like, right? You're talking like his best games were like. Now he had that one against the Raiders, where, you know, he had two catches for 120 yards.
And that's where you were thinking, okay, here he comes, you know?
Yeah, you thought it was going to take off at that point. And then basically after that game, you're like, you know, zero catches, 0 yards, 0-0, 1 for 8, 2 for 6. You know, there's some really, like, wow, this guy just disappeared. So when, you know, Valdez-Scantling falls so far off the chart that he's not even getting a second snap in the NFC Championship game, and those snaps are going to Geronimo Allison, who I think is not coming back next season, who I think a lot of people had much higher hopes for,
mm-hmm.
and just certainly did not build upon his early, you know, his early career success. He's very much plateaued, if not fallen off. You know, Alan Lazard, what a year he had, but you're still, I mean, that should not be your number two option for a Super Bowl contending team. Not at this early stage of Lazard's career. He might continue to ascend and become that, but I mean, 2 months earlier, he was some guy sitting on the sideline hoping that eventually the coaching staff would put him into a game, and it took injuries to Darius Shepherd, among others, to, you know, to even get him on the field. So, you know, if that's your group of playmakers, if that's your group of pass catchers, there's a lot, you know, left to be desired. So I think when you start to talk about like that specific interception that was targeted for Geronimo Allison, or, you know, some of Rodgers' play this season, I think you owe it to yourself to find out, if you're Brian Gutekunst, you owe it to yourself to find out, what would this offense look like? What would Rodgers look like if there wasn't just one threat? And yeah. There was just one threat, Davante
right.
Adams. And then there was just a bunch of guys who might not even be in the league much longer, much less on the Packers. Like, you know, like Jamon Moore had to wait until November to pretty much get a job on a practice squad. Like, these are the kind of guys that they thought they could surround Rodgers with. So, you know, there's plenty of, you know, blame, I suppose, to go around from, you know, why the offense from a passing perspective didn't click as much. But if you don't put more weapons around a quarterback, you know, there's only so many miracles that quarterback, I think,
right.
can pull off when Geronimo Allison is your number two,
right.
you know, wide receiver on the depth chart.
Nope, completely agree. Paul, good stuff. Appreciate it, pal. We'll talk at the end of the week.
All right, Phil.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on a Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. They've been doing it for a long, long time. Good company to call. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com if you're looking for a new team or a team. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.